Good morning, everyone. It is good to be with you on this Lord's Day morning. As has been the case for the last couple of years during the month of December, it has been my purpose on Sunday mornings to talk about Jesus Christ and present it in such a way that the Bible, as the Bible declares him, and in such a way that we have a greater appreciation for who he is. And especially during a time of year when a great many people who may not think about him on a regular basis, but they are thinking about him during this time of year more so than others, to present Jesus to them, to you. And that's what I intend to do today with this lesson. Because as you see from our text, especially verse 6, Jesus is the way. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. I've tried to present him in different ways, the way that the Bible describes him in the past. We've talked about him the way Isaiah has described him as Prince of Peace, the Counselor, the Mighty God, all of those things that have been described in Scripture. And there is an endless number of ways to preach about Jesus Christ. And this was just one of them that we're going to look at this morning. But I want you to ask yourself a few questions first. Do you have problems? I think we all do from time to time have problems, and they vary from individual to individual. Are you sometimes confused in things pertaining to life itself? And sometimes we raise our eyebrow at things that are going on in the world around us, and we understand how in the world does life continue as it does. And so we ask those questions. And sometimes, do you ever feel lost or have a sense of despair about you? Well, I think everybody at some time or another has done that and has felt that. There is a sense in being lost in the world that we live in and being caught up in it so much so that sometimes we feel like we're being drug under and pulled under by many different influences. But there's also a sense in which we are lost spiritually. And sometimes there is that sense of despair that surely I am so horrible an individual that even God can't forgive me. You wouldn't be unique in any sense of the word if you felt that way. And if you do feel that way, you're not alone. You know, you think about this, about the time of Abraham, maybe a little bit before Abraham, there was a man by the name of Job who suffered. And you can see sometimes through the things that he says that the bewilderment of what's going on, of why things are happening to him. But he says in Job chapter 14, verses 1 and 2, he says, "Man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue." And sometimes we think that all there is in this life is just what we have right here, what's in front of us. And you watch the news, you turn the TV on and you watch the news today and you say, how in the world is this place that we live in going to survive? And what's going to happen to it? Because it looks like it's coming to a horrible end and we're at fault. A lot of people lose hope. A lot of people don't have any hope to begin with. But I believe that what Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 6, when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," that is an expression of hope. It is a reason to have greater hope than I may have had by seeing all the horrible things that go on in the world around me. And I think about this. Job's words were spoken nearly 4,000 years ago. But many times what they express are the sentiments of millions of people today. But now, everybody's looking at this time of year as a season of hope. But the reason that they look at it that way is because Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is our hope. He is our reason for living in this world today. He is our reason for doing the things that we do. And everything that is truly good, both in this life and in the life to come, is because of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the way. And so during this time together this morning, I want us to be thinking about Jesus. And I want us to just to reveal a few things about Jesus being the way that should encourage us today. And I truly believe that Jesus is the way to a better life. Now, not from the material, necessarily from the materialistic standpoint, as some people might view it, but from a very spiritual standpoint, one that has to do with our soul salvation, one that provides for us many different things. But on this occasion, Jesus stated that He is the way, the truth, and the life. But on another occasion, He spoke to His disciples in John chapter 10 and verse 10. And He says, "I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." That's a purpose. Jesus states purpose in those words. I have come that they may have life. And the only way to that better life is through Jesus Christ, who is the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father except through Him. And when you think about that, that better way of life goes through Him to the Father. And so when I think about this, I think about this abundant life Jesus offers is more than simply what we have right here in front of us. It points to that which is to come. It gets us to looking to a much bigger picture, because it is so easy in our minds to get focused on what's directly in front of us that we lose sight of eternity. That it is through Him, the way, that we enter into that eternity. You think about what was stated there in the first five verses up to that, and especially verse 1. He says, "You believe in God, believe also in Me." And He talks about eternity. And He talks about what is there awaiting those that He is going to come and return and take back. There is a better way of life. Though He does not promise wealth or luxury, He does assure us of a loving Father in heaven. He assured us in the text of an eternal home. And you think about a loving Father in heaven, and you think about that, a God who cares for His children. Jesus is saying, "I am the way to Him." In Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 33, you hear the words, "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." And sometimes we get so wrapped up with the here and now and what is we feel is necessary now that we forget that big picture of eternity. The Father knows that you need all these things. And then He closes that. He says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Well, you seek first the kingdom of God, how? By the way, Jesus Christ. Because He is that way to God. And more than sufficient provisions for us, those who are willing to follow Him, there's more to be said in Mark chapter 10, verses 29 through 30. You also have this. "So Jesus answered and said, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for My sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands and persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." How do we access that eternal life? It only comes through the way, Jesus Christ. But you think about that, those who receive this life are truly blessed. The happiest people in the world should be children of God. Because we are not just looking at what's staring us in the face today. We're looking forward and we're looking ahead to an eternal promise that has been given to us. The happiest people in the world are those who have truly committed themselves to Jesus, the way. Because they know that there's a better life than what we have now awaiting us. Even though living in the most adverse circumstances, some individuals always had that bigger picture in mind. They always have had that picture in mind that they can do things because of Jesus Christ, the way. The Apostle Paul under house arrest. In Philippians chapter 4, talks about joy over and over again. He tells them to rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. But Paul's under house arrest right now when he's writing this epistle. And in that house, while he's under this house arrest and being in chains, he's come to a realization of some things that are much more important. He looks toward eternity, but he says something about that in Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 11. He says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned that whatever state I am, to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And let's put it this way. In his sufferings, he learned one very valuable lesson. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I believe that the Apostle Paul, when he says those words, is looking at Jesus Christ as the way to the Father, as the way to a better life, as the way to an eternal life. Christians today, I know that there are those who around the world that are suffering great persecution. In lands like, in countries like China, in the Philippines, places in Africa and Asia Minor, are still, Christians are being persecuted and suffering. And if we look to Jesus Christ as the way, then we need to have an attitude much like what the Apostle Peter had when he wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. And he said, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." I look at the world in which we live, and sometimes the trials that we face in our lives seem minuscule when I consider what first century Christians went through. What they endured, the type of persecution, both political and religious persecution that they suffered. At the hands of their own people and at the hands of a foreign nation. And yet Peter says something very similar to what James says, "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials." How can we do that? When we look to Jesus, the way. That's how we can do that. Because we look to a better life. And I think not only are we looking at that life in general being eternal life, but I also see it in many ways how it improves life here on earth. It enables us to be at peace with all men, or at least to pursue that peace, that we can be at peace with all men. It allows us to be at peace in a world full of turmoil. Because we're looking to Jesus the way. But not only is He a way to a better life, because of what He did for us, He's the way to forgiveness of sins. That way to forgiveness. You think about that in those terms. He is the solution to the most egregious problem in the world today. I know that the physical health problems that are out there in today, we think about how horrible some of these sicknesses are and illnesses are, terminally especially. But there's no greater malady for man than sin. Because this is the one thing that can cause them to lose their souls. And Jesus Christ, He is the only solution for that. The most serious threat to our well-being is sin. And the most serious and only solution for it was Jesus Christ dying on that cross. The reason it is serious is all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The reason it is so serious is because the wages of sin is death. And we understand that when we look at Romans 3 verse 23 and Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Because sin is not without its consequences. And unless the problem of sin is resolved, the ultimate consequence is an eternity in hell. Jesus told His disciples in John chapter 14, "You believe in God, believe also in Me." He told them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father except through Me." And that began with Him dying on the cross. That way, that access that we have to God began with the shedding of Jesus Christ's blood. His death, His burial, His resurrection. And through Jesus, God provides forgiveness. It's not like the blood of the bulls and goats of the old. You look at Hebrews chapter 10 and you can see that. But it is a forgiveness that we get because God loved us so much. You can quote John chapter 3 verse 16 and you see that God so loved the world and gave His only begotten Son. But in 1 John chapter 4 verses 9 and 10, it says this, "In this the love of God was manifest toward us." How? "That God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him." Think about that right there. "That we might live through Him," the way to God. "We might live through Him. In this is love, that not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." The sacrificial lamb, our Passover lamb, the Son of God, hung upon a tree, became the payment that appeased the wrath of God so that we would have access through the way to the Father. Through His blood shed on the cross, Jesus provides forgiveness of our sins. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, "In Him we have redemption. Through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." That great gift, the grace of God, that has been manifest in the flesh in the form of Jesus Christ. It is His sacrificial death for us. And Jesus explains that, how the lost in sin could be saved through that death. You see, in Luke chapter 24, verses 46 through 47, it is there that Jesus talks to His disciples before He ascends into heaven about them preaching in Jerusalem, that one of the things that they will preach will be repentance. The need for that repentance. He's going to teach that the world will be taught that in order to have access through the way, Jesus Christ, repentance is going to be necessary. And that message is going to begin in Jerusalem. We know it began in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. I also know that faith and baptism are also involved, because before He ascended into heaven, He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned." All of that is necessary. And to be truly happy, we need more than just the forgiveness of sins. We need reconciliation to God. And that's what Jesus provided in His death. Reconciliation to God. Man had been separated from God by sin. What once was a union, a perfect union back in the garden, was severed by sin. And man has suffered ever since. But then he sent his Son so that we could be reconciled to the Father, to be truly happy. We can live in closer union with God now because of Jesus Christ, who is the way to the Father. And therefore, He is the way to God. When Jesus Christ said that in John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus came to reconcile us to the Father. A real understanding of Jesus begins with the understanding of His purpose. That death was necessary. And I want you to turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This message of reconciliation so that we can come to the Father is a message that we should be preaching just like the Apostle Paul. When I think about this, Jesus came to this world to reconcile man back to God the Father. So, in essence, again, John chapter 14 and verse 6, He is the way, what? No one can come to the Father except through Him. He is that access point. And reconciliation then becomes that necessary. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ. You see that? The way. Reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. The way. And has given us the ministry of reconciliation. What Paul's saying there too is part of that. We have the access. Our message that he's preaching to the church at Corinth now is just that message of reconciliation, trying to bring people back to God through the Son. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. When we speak of Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter whether it's the month of December or any other day of the year. If we're truly trying to reach others and influence them to become obedient to His will, we have to let them know what He has done on their behalf. We have to let them know that no matter how horrible an individual they may think they are, there is a means of reconciliation to God. And that's through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And how is that accomplished? John chapter 14 and verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. How are we reconciled back to God? How has He reconciled us to Him? Through His Son, Jesus Christ, the way. It is a relationship that is of utmost importance. When you think about it, one does not truly experience what it means to have eternal life without having that relationship with the Father as well as with the Son. Now, when I speak of relationship, I'm not talking about the relationships that we have here. I'm talking about being adopted as a child of God. I'm talking about being brought into the family of God through the reconciling power of Jesus Christ. You think about those words. Eternal life. What it means to have eternal life. It can't be had without coming to the Father through the Son, the way. When I think about that, I think it's exactly what Jesus offered. I think it's exactly what Jesus prayed for in John chapter 17. In John chapter 17, verses 1 through 3, not 2 through 3, 1 through 3, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given Him authority over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as you have given Him. And this is eternal life, that they may know that you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. How do we know God? Through His Son, Jesus Christ, the way. Yes, that eternal life offers us the ability to know God, His Son. We become joint heirs with Christ when we come to God through Him. There is a family relationship of being a child of God that can only occur when we come to God through His Son. So Jesus is the way to eternal life. Go back to John chapter 14 in your Bibles. The message that Jesus had given His disciples right there before verse 6 is talking about eternal life. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. He went to prepare that eternal home for those who have come to the Father through Him. To those who have been reconciled to the Father through Him. He says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know. And the way, you know. You see what happened right there? The way, you know. I have to admit that sometimes when I see the response in verse 5 from Thomas, I said, how slow are you people in learning that He's right there in front of you? How slow are we at learning sometimes these lessons in our own lives? That Jesus Christ is the way. The best way, the only way to live eternally with the Father. Death is inevitable. This body that we abide in right now is only temporary. It is perishable. And one day it will put on that which is imperishable. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 talks about the inevitability of death by stating that it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment. We get to meet God. Now, those who are His will enter in into an eternity with Him. Those who are not will live eternally separated from Him, as the book of Revelation calls, in a lake of fire. See, Jesus is the way. And what happens then is death becomes the door, either to eternal life or eternal condemnation. And as Jesus puts it in Matthew chapter 25, these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Talking about the sheep and the goats as He describes them there in Matthew chapter 25. But what Jesus was offering His disciples in John chapter 14 and verses 1 through 5 there before again saying that He was the way, the truth, and the life, points out that eternity can be theirs if they come to the Father through Him. And so to die in Jesus is to die in such a way to have eternal life. If you're a child of God and someone asks you, if you die today, will you go to heaven? I pray that you never answer, well, I hope so. I believe that you should be able to answer with confidence. I believe that you should be able to answer with the same confidence that John reveals in 1 John chapter 5. That the things that he had written to those who were alive at that time, he wrote that so that they may know. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and the life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. I believe that we need to know. And I believe that many of us know whether we are in the way or we are outside of the way. We know deep down inside of us if we are on the road that has access to the Father or if we are on the road that leads to destruction. And Jesus, in offering eternal life, died so that we might have that eternal life. In John chapter 6, verse 27, do not labor for the food which perishes. And if you remember in our Bible study on the life of Christ, and that just following the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus goes into this discourse about him being the bread of life, the manna that has come down from heaven. And he's telling them on this day, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal upon him. There are several things in that text. The last of which, the Father has set his seal upon him, is an indication that he is the anointed of God. He is the chosen one of God. And because he is the way, then, he is the one that provides that which endures to everlasting life. That bread of life, the way. In John chapter 11, in verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection, speaking to Lazarus' sister. I am the resurrection to life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And so as the Apostle John wrote in the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 14, in verse 13, he said, then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. The blessing of dying in the Lord, dying in the way, is eternal life. It is that which allows us access to the Father, not just in this life, but in eternity. And so if you're here this morning, and you're a child of God already, I had a twofold purpose in this lesson, and I hope that it's been fulfilled. One of them was to increase your appreciation of Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Appreciate what he's done, the access that you've gained through him. But also to help you increase a desire and to talk to people about it, to serve him with a greater zeal than you've ever had before. Because he is the only way that you will enter into heaven. He is the only way that you will hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant, if you are in him. And he is in you. Second is, if you're not a child of God, to get you to understand that there is a better way, to encourage you to let Jesus Christ be that way to everything that is truly good, both in this life and the one to come. To understand that if you've never obeyed the gospel, you don't have access to the Father just yet, but you do have a way through Jesus Christ, his Son. And if you believe that he is the Son of God, act in that faith. As repentance was to be taught in Jerusalem in Luke chapter 24, repent of your sins, confessing before men, be baptized for the forgiveness of those sins, to rise and walk in newness of life, become that new creature in Christ, be reconciled to God through the way, the truth, and the life. Won't you come as together we stand and as we sing?